time right here, instead of doing scripture reading, just have you go ahead and turn to Psalm 55. Psalm 55, we're going to be there in just a moment. I was looking for Curtis, but he must be, is he helping? Okay, because I want you to remember now, Curtis and Jessica are getting married next Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 29th of October, right here in the auditorium, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, reception following. And church, I hope that you'll come out and support this young man and his bride-to-be. Curtis has been a member here for several, he's grown up here since he was, goodness, how old was he? 4. So we want to be a blessing to him next Saturday at 2 o'clock. Don't forget that. He'll be in the service tonight, and we'll make sure we recognize him. But that's coming up. Charlotte is going to come sing for us. And as soon as she's done singing, Psalm 55 in your Bible, and we'll be ready with the message. All right, Charlotte. Song. Now, I'm going to look at some verses in chapter 55, but I'm going to concentrate the theme verse, the main verse, is all the way down near the end of the chapter, verse 22. A familiar verse to you, one we've preached from before in years gone by. I want to speak on it again this morning. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, that's not the only verse in the chapter. We'll look at some others. But I want to speak this morning. The choice is yours. This is the last Sunday. The choice is yours. Carry or cast. Carry or cast. The choice is yours. Let's pray together. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You so much for the privilege to be in this service. And Lord, it's not as full as it sometimes would be with people gone, but Lord, it doesn't matter. Your Spirit's here, and that's all that really matters. So I pray that You will anoint us all, help me as I speak, and all of us as we listen. May the Holy Spirit have an opportunity to work in our hearts this morning. So control us, lead us, direct us, please, in this service, and help the one that needs it most, I pray, this morning in Jesus' name. And amen. Of all the characters in the Bible, it seems to me, this is just my opinion, I have no Bible verse for this, but it seems to me that of all the characters in the Bible, that David is the one whose life is what we might call an open book. You've heard that phrase used, right? His life's an open book. Her life's an open book. You know, 1 and 2 Samuel, as well as 1 and 2 Chronicles, tell us much about what happened to David and how he responded to the different events and circumstances and situations that came up in his life. But then Psalms, the book we read from this morning, is different. It allows us to look into the core of David's person. It doesn't tell us about the particular event as much as it lets us look into David's emotions, his thoughts, his fears, his encouragement, his discouragement, his anxieties, his worries. And there's not many other, pardon me, characters in the Bible that we get to see like that. Really, David about is the only one whose life is just opened up for us in the book of Psalms. And in Psalm 55, we are given a glimpse into his inner person during a time of real adversity, real difficulty in his life. Somebody betrayed him. Somebody disappointed him badly. You know what's so neat about this? Is that happens to about everybody in life. Okay? Now, it could have been Absalom, his son, could have been Ahithophel, his counselor. But I'm not even going to go any further than that because I'm not going to linger this morning on the who of David's disappointment as much as the advice David gave from everybody else who would go through something. Because that's what we have in verse 22. Now I want you to look at a couple of verses. Look at verse 4 with me. And here again, this is where God lets us look inside His core person. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Again, we don't know what particular incident or event he's talking about here. That's not what's important. What's important is you're looking inside the core person of David. Look at verse 5. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. That's reality, folks. Everybody in this room has been there one time or another. Or you will be someday. Look at verse 6. If this is not human, and I said, David speaking, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. You felt that. If I could just leave. Look at 7, verse 7. Lo, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. So whatever has happened, David refers to it as a windy storm and a tempest, and fear and trembling and horror has overwhelmed me. And if I had the chance, I'd just leave. I'd go away. That's human. That's why this book is relevant. This book is a relevant book. It's for today. It's for now. And God lets us look in here. Now, beginning in verse 16, now He tells us how He feels. He gives a testimony as to what He's going to do with this time in His life. Look what He says in verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Now, we're going to come back there in just a little bit. But when you get down to verse 22, it's like David takes a brief pause and he speaks to every one of us living today in October of 2016. He speaks to everyone who's lived prior to us. If Jesus, pardon me, I battled this week. Some of you have had the same thing. If Jesus stays in heaven, this verse will continue to speak to anybody that comes behind us. Okay. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. It's like He's giving a word of advice and encouragement on the subject of burdens. And David says that the child of God needs to recognize these truths about life when you have that stormy, windy tempest. I'll give you three things. We'll be done. First of all, every believer has a burden to try Him. Every believer has a burden to try Him. Look at verse 22. Look at the second word in that verse. What is that word? It is the word thy. Thy burden. David had his. Somebody betrayed him. And so he speaks to you and me, and he says, now look, it may not be that somebody has betrayed you. It's something else. Cast thy burden. Here is a statement that teaches each one of us is going to have some kind of burden, and usually more than one, and burdens come and burdens go. David's burden was personal to him. It was unique to him. And by the way, folks, no one knew how heavy it was for him to carry this burden like he did. Somebody else couldn't speak intelligently about it unless they had carried the same burden. It is not, you know, I've said this before, it's not uncommon for someone who has just been saved to, or saved for a short time to be surprised when burdens, problems, or difficulties come their way. Often a person is tempted to think, now that I'm saved, I won't have any more problems. That's just not true. In fact, Peter wrote about it in the New Testament. Listen to what he said. In 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. What's Peter saying? He's saying, don't be surprised. When the fiery trial comes, when the burden comes, don't be surprised. And don't act like, oh my, you know, what is this going on? What? No, it's part of life. Burdens are a part of life. And when you get hit with a burden, don't act shocked and don't play the martyr, because everybody has them. I've used before this illustration. I remember being at Cedar River Baptist Camp one year, and it was junior week, and they were having the boxing time at Cedar River. And they've gotten more sophisticated now. Now they wear the headgear and the boxing gloves. Used to, in the old days, they didn't wear the headgear. They just wore the boxing gloves. Some of you guys sitting here this morning have been through this. And some, you know, those boys get out there, you know, and somebody, usually the guys in the ring first are the ones that are wanting to, you know, they can't wait to get there, you know, they've been looking forward to it. They're full of, you know, aggressiveness and everything. Here we go, we're going to fight. And then the boys that are watching, they get excited. And so you get these boys that have never really boxed before. And I want to do it. And I remember watching these two little boys, the young boys, probably sixth grade, fifth grade, fourth grade. And they got in the ring, and there was one boy that was significantly, He was a little bit taller, a little bit longer reach. And Brother Dave blew the whistle, and that kid just, I mean, he bash! And that poor kid, he didn't know what hit him. And he dropped his gloves, and he turned to Brother Dave, and he said, he hit me! And I remember that happening, and I was thinking to myself, you know, that's kind of why you get in the boxing ring, you know, you kind of get in the boxing ring to get hit. If we're not careful, as Christians, we can have the same little kind of funny attitude. He hit me. Why is this? Burdens are a part of life. And since you're saved, listen, since you're saved, you can expect some burdens along the way. Now, they come in different forms. Some are physical, some are emotional, some are what I call vocational. Problems at work, burdens about your work. Men have gone through burdens, significant burdens over the years when it comes to their vocations here at our church. They can be relational. A lot of times they can be financial. And even if you're a good financial planner, you know, and you've tried to save and you're trying to live a little bit from week to week, save a little bit, boom, you get hit with something unexpected. And there's a lot of times there's not always something set aside for the rainy day. Burdens. They come in different forms. They come in different weights. Some are light. Some are heavy. They come for different lengths of time. Some are short. Some are longer. They come from different sources. I believe that God our Father gives us some burdens to carry, and I believe that Satan buffets us as well. They come from God, they come from Satan. Now, God and Satan have different purposes. God never puts a burden on us to crush us. God never puts a burden on us to overwhelm us. God puts a burden on us to make us stronger, to build us. Whenever God sends a burden our way, God has something in mind to build us for the cause of Christ. You know, you take a bodybuilder, you take a weightlifter, they voluntarily, he purposely takes on the burden of weight and he lifts the weights, he does the weights, he does all the exercises. And as he exercises, voluntarily taking on the burden of the weights, his muscles are torn down and they're used and they're pressured. And when they build back up, they are stronger. And that's what God does to us. He puts a burden on us, not to crush us, but to make us stronger. Now, it may bruise us, but he doesn't want to break us. I mean, smash us. That's not his purpose. But I'll tell you, I believe that Satan gives us burdens to destroy us. I believe he gives us burdens to overwhelm us, to defeat us, as he attempts to give us something so heavy to crush us. And everybody has their burdens. Sometimes they're shared with others. Sometimes they're solo. Sometimes there are burdens that we feel comfortable telling to other people. Sometimes the burden is so personal that you can't tell anybody else on the human plane. Now, we've been sitting on this for a couple of weeks, but you know, Ben and Ashley are expecting their fifth child. And they called 2 or 3 weeks ago and said, you know, it looks like the same issue is starting with her pregnancy. And she went Friday and Ben called and she's got the complete placenta previa worse than last time. So, you know, they got to get here, and they got to get here fast. And you know, that's a burden. That's a burden. It's a burden probably the heaviest for Ashley. She probably carries it the heaviest. I'm sure Ben carries it next heavy. And then you get to the parents. You get to Joe and Cheryl down in Oklahoma City. And then you get to, you know, to me and my wife, and we carry it. I'm the one up here appointed to speak. You could stand up here this morning and talk about your burden. Then it goes to the siblings. You know, some of the siblings I know were moved to emotion and actually called Ashley. And we just don't want to see the same type of situation over again. But, you know, it's a burden. But I shouldn't, he hit me. I shouldn't have that attitude. And I got a phone call yesterday from a distant place, and a pastor, a brother called me with a burden that's heavier than that one. He wept on the phone. And you know, you think you're carrying the heaviest burden, then you get a phone call and you find out, well, you know what, really? But to you, it's a heavy burden. Thy burden. Thy burden. Every believer has a burden to try him. Every believer. Now, you may not be carrying one this morning. Amen. But there are plenty of people in here that are. Now, number two, I want you to see what David said. Number two, he said every believer has a burden to try him. Number one, every believer has a duty to engage him. A duty to engage him. Look at what he said at the very beginning of verse 22. Cast thy burden. What are we supposed to do with our burdens? We're supposed to cast them on the Lord. When I think of the word cast, you know, automatically I think of fishing. And, you know, a fisherman takes a pole and he casts it. He doesn't do this. Well, he might. I've seen guys do that with golf clubs. That's why you ought to fish instead of golf. Amen. I've seen guys take their clubs and throw them in the river. Amen. But you know, you cast. You cast. Casting. I'm not throwing it in anger. I'm casting it. And folks, when burdens come our way, no matter what the form, no matter what the weight, no matter what the length, no matter who the source is or the purpose, we should cast it on the Lord. He didn't say, well, this kind of burden you cast on the Lord and this kind of burden you carry. He said, whatever kind of burden is, you cast it on the Lord. Don't get angry. Don't get bitter. Don't get mad. Cast it. Truth of the matter is, friend, the bitterness and the anger and the madness comes from trying to carry something that we weren't designed to carry. Cast it. That's what the Bible says. And David said, cast it. Now, how does a person do this? How does a person cast it? Well, look again at verse number 16. Look at what David said. Look at his testimony is. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. So how does a person do this? Well, David said the way to do it is you pray. And he said three times a day, at least evening, morning, and at noon. Here, look, folks, burdens are with us. We think about them. We run them over and over in our minds. We deal with the emotions they create. We deal with trying to come up with a solution. We try to, we think about something to try to figure it out. And what do we got to do? Let's do this. We sometimes try to blame another person for our burden. You say, what's your point, Pastor? My point is, we turn it over and 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 over throughout the day. And God says, when it comes to your mind, don't turn it over and over. Give it to me. Give it to me. And David said, I'm going to pray and I'm going to give it to the Lord. No matter who calls the burden, the Lord wants you to give it to Him. And when the burden weaves its way into your thoughts, give it to the Lord. Look, the fact that He said that He would pray evening, morning, and at noon, I don't personally think that what He's saying is I'm going to pray three times a day and that's it. Evening, morning, and noon, what He's saying is Whenever. When the burden comes to your mind, it's time to cast it. God, I'm not going to stew about this. Now, I don't mean be passive and not give thought to things and not be prudent. But I mean when it comes to the fear and the trembling and the horror and the anxiety and the desire to just go away, instead of reveling in that, give it to God. Lord, this is yours. God, this is yours. God, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving it to you. You won't stop thinking about it, but you don't have to carry it. Has anybody ever offered to help you carry something? Here, let me help you. Here, let me carry that. Usually I'm out here in the foyer greeting folks on Sunday morning before 10 o'clock, and Jesse Kent a lot of times will come in this east door over here. She has this ladies' Sunday school class. It's called a Sunday school class. It's really a breakfast buffet every Sunday. Don't let them fool you, okay? You say, why? All of a sudden these ladies are just showing up in her class. Well, if you had egg souffle, eggs Benedict and bacon and sausage and, a biscuit and gravy and all that, you'd probably build your Sunday school. I'm just teasing, okay? But they do have good food in there. And she comes in, and sometimes she comes in with a load. And if I see it, I'll offer it. Can I carry it? Once in a while, it's not that heavy. And she says, I got it. But there are some times when she says, thank you. The truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter how heavy it is when it comes to burden. God's standing nearby saying, hey, can I help you? And whether it's light or heavy, hear Him say to you, let me carry that. It's not that you won't think about it. This is different than this. Are you with me? When He's talking here in chapter, in verses 4, 5, and 6 and so forth, He's not talking about this. He's talking about this. He's talking about the hurt, the sorrow, the heaviness, the anxiety, the toughness, the inner emotions that come from the problem. You're not going to take it out of his brain. But David said, I don't want to carry this, Lord. It's not made for me to carry. It's given for me, Lord, to have for a moment and realize that I need your strength. You're giving back to you. Just, you know, look, you've got a duty to engage you when you have a burden. Give it to the Lord. Give the emotions of it to God. Look, moms. Look, they haven't told the girls yet. We've known about it for, like I say, about 2.5-3 weeks. We were just praying that God would take care of it, and God still might. He might do. God can, and He might. But they haven't told the girls, and you know they don't want to stumble around the house in a fog with three little girls with a fallen countenance and a heaviness. You don't want to do that to your children. Somehow, some way, you've got to put a smile on your face and face the day with an encouraged spirit. But the only way you can do that is if you cast it. Cast it. Give it to the Lord. So every believer has a burden to try Him. Every believer has a duty to engage Him. Number three this morning, every believer has a promise to encourage Him. Look at what He said in verse number 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. That word sustain means support, uphold, bear up. God will strengthen you. God will uphold you. He upholds and strengthens in ways that are not possible for you and me to come up with. I've used this before. Let me don't bear with me if you've heard it. We got ready to do this building project back in the year 19. They were going to turn dirt in the year 2000. They showed up here on like February 28th or 29th. It was the last day of February. I can't remember if it was a leap year or not. They showed up here with the earth moving equipment where you are sitting this morning. The earth movers came and began to move the dirt that once was the front yard in our church property. And it dawned on me, this thing that we've been planning for, giving for, preparing for 5 years is a reality. And I had heard all the horror stories. I had heard horror stories about the church, you know, not able to finance it and going bankrupt and driving pastors crazy and people leaving and getting upset during a building program. And it was my first one. Maybe it's not a big thing to you, but it was to me. I heard all the horror stories. They started on a Monday. On Tuesday, we were on soul winning visitation. I was down in the limestone area, and I remember it made a visit in limestone, and I was going down the limestone road, and I was crossing over those railroad tracks there, and I remember distinctly saying to God, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. Please, show me you're in this. You got to show me you're in this. Yeah, I believe you're in it, but Lord, I started to get fearful. You with me? On Wednesday morning, I was sitting in the office, heard the phone ring, secretary answered it, intercom my phone, and said, Pastor, Cloyd Helton is on the phone. Cloyd Helton. I met Cloyd in 1976 when I went to Bible college. This is 1990. This is the year 2000. What is that? 24 years? I met Cloyd in 1976. He was my division leader. He had polio as a kid, and he had lost his foot. And he used to go around in a crutch. He was a great guy. His legs from his hips down, he was just so weak. But from his waist up, he was chiseled and built strong. His dad was a farmer, a rancher in Texas. He and his brother helped his dad on the farm. He came to Bible college. I got put under his supervision, and we became friends. And he had stopped by to see me, I think, once. And out of the clear blue, Cloyd Helton calls me on a Wednesday morning. I hadn't seen him or heard from him in years. I picked up the phone and said, Cloyd. He said, Terry. He said, you came to my mind this morning early. I just thought I should call you and tell you that whatever you're doing, God's with you. God's going to help you. And I'm not embellishing the story, folks. I'm sitting there looking at the stupid phone, looking at it, just like, I can't believe this is happening. And I never forget it. And he said, I just, and I said, well, Cloyd, this is of God. And I told him the story. I said, last night, I just asked the Lord to show me. He was in this building program. And he said, I hadn't thought about you in years, but I thought about you this morning. Thought I'd better call you. He said, God, he said, if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. He said, God will help you. I said, well, pray for me. He had prayer for me over the phone. Now, folks, I couldn't have made that happen. But when you cast things, He shall sustain thee. You remember that story of David over there in 1 Samuel chapter 30? He's got those 600 men. And he comes back to his village and is burned with fire. They burned his village. They took all the women, all the wives, all the women, all the children captive. Took them all captive. These 600 men come over the hill and their village is destroyed. And their wives and children are gone. And they started talking. The men did amongst themselves. He got us into this mess. Let's kill him. You know what David did with that? The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. He talked some sense into him. He said, let's look. Let's get together. Let's go. Let's try to find out what's happening. And read it for yourself. This is incredible. It's like that afternoon or the next day, they're walking. They're trying to find these Amalekites who stole their wives and their children, burned their village, and their possessions, took all their possessions. And they see an Egyptian in the field. They see this emaciated Egyptian standing in the field or sitting in the field. And they go to him and say, who are you? Where are you from? What are you doing? He said, I'm an Egyptian. He said, 3 days ago, my master, an Amalekite, left me behind because I was sick. I haven't had any food or water for 3 days. And David said, get him some water, get him some food. They cared for him. They got him some water, got him some food. And David sat down to talk to him. Said, your master's an Amalekite? Yes, sir. You boys just destroy a village over there? Yes, sir. You know where they are? I can take you to them. And he did. And the Bible says, now listen, we read the Bible like it's a fairy tale. The Bible says that David recovered all. Every woman, every child, every sheep, every cattle, everything, he got it all back. You couldn't have planned that. The only person that could do that is God. Cast thy burden on the Lord. He shall sustain thee. That is the promise. A promise to encourage you, friend. When this burden lands on your shoulders and the beginning of it there, it starts to become to get to your emotions and to get to your, you're overwhelmed and fearful and anxious and worried before it overwhelms you. You gotta say, Lord, this is too heavy for me and you didn't design it for me to carry. Here it is. And God will somehow, God is not limited by human boundaries. It's not limited. And I'm not against you telling a friend. That's sometimes helpful, but people are humans. People are limited. What's weird is we tell everybody but Him. And He's the one that's limitless. So what are you going to do? It's your choice. You're going to cast it or you're going to carry it? I wish I had a nickel for every time since Friday morning I have said, Lord, be with that girl. It's not mine. I've just got to give it to you. Be with her. Why? When are you going to stop thinking about it? I won't. But it doesn't have to crush me here. Now, I'm done in 2 minutes. There's one burden that everybody carries. Everybody. One burden that all of us carry, and that's the burden of our sin. You're born with it. You're born with a sinful nature. That's why you lie. That's why you're selfish. I say you, I'm pointing three fingers at me. That's why we lie, we're selfish, without ever having to be taught, because we're born with the sin nature. We carry the burden of sin from birth. And the sad thing about that is, if we carry that to our death, then we have to suffer the penalty, which is eternity apart from God in the lake of fire. But Jesus, as she sang, the Lamb of God, came here to go to the cross, die, shed His blood, was buried, rose again the third day to pay and carry your burden of sin. 41 years ago, I cast that burden on Him. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. But I believe that You died, were buried, and rose again to take that burden from me. And now I receive You as my Savior. And I gave Him that burden. Not only have I not had to carry that burden anymore, I don't have to worry about paying for it. It's all done. Heaven's my home. I'm bound for a kingdom. Saved. So if you're here this morning, you might be carrying an emotional or vocational or relationship burden or a financial burden. But if you've never dealt with the burden of your sin, that's the heaviest and the most crucial. You definitely need to cast that on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for Your great grace and Your mercy to us. We thank You for the Scripture that teaches us about all these good things. And we come to You this morning asking that You might work in hearts, speak to those of us in this room. With an open heart now, Lord, we bow our heads before You. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask a couple of questions. First of all, let me ask it this way. Is there somebody here that would say, Pastor, I am carrying a burden, and that message helped me this morning? And you know, whether or not you've done well or done good at casting it on the Lord, something was said in the message this morning that helped you along the way about casting it on the Lord. The choice is yours to carry it or cast it. Pray for me, Pastor. That helped me and strengthened me. Would you lift your hand, please, wherever you're sitting? Amen. God bless you. Many, many hands. I appreciate that. Now, here's an important question. Have you dealt with the burden of your sin? You cannot deal with it by going to church. You cannot deal with it by being baptized. You cannot deal with it by being good. You deal with it by receiving Christ Jesus as your Savior. What if there's anybody in the room this morning, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking, if you're not saved, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, you're not positive that when you draw your last breath, you're going to go to heaven. If you're under the sound of my voice and you're not sure that you're saved, would you just be honest before God and slip your hand up this morning right where you sit, just slip it up in the air? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I am not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Somebody like that today? I'm not sure. Side to side, front to back, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If you're saved and you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and you came to do that this morning, now is the time to come. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you can slip out and come right now while we wait this morning. But more importantly than being baptized is knowing for sure that you're saved. Please don't leave here not knowing for sure that you're saved. Anybody like that this morning? I just want to pray for you. Give you a chance to hear the gospel story. Father in heaven, we love You. We thank You so much for the Lord Jesus Christ who came to carry the heaviest burden we'd ever have, the burden of our sin. And God, I just pray that You'll please help this morning these that lifted a hand, said the Spirit of God had touched their hearts during the message. Lord, as burdens come our way, help us to cast them upon You. Not in anger, not in bitterness, but Lord, help us to see You by faith standing saying, can I help You carry that? Can I help You carry that? So help us to give You those burdens and to go on our way with a happy, contented heart. Thank You so much for this Bible, what it means to us. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand together, please. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. Many, many people raised a hand this morning. Let me encourage you to honor that by coming and just kneeling and praying. Maybe you can't kneel. You could stand. Maybe you could need to pray right there in your seat. But many, many hands went up. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Did the Lord speak to your heart this morning? And let me just say this. If you're not sure that you're saved, we have ladies to talk to ladies. We have men to talk to men. We can show you from the Bible how you can know for certain that heaven is your home. I'm not trying to make you a Baptist. It's not about joining Faith Baptist Church. That's not what it's about. It's about being saved, being a believer in Christ Jesus, knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Can you say that this morning? If you can't, now's the time to come. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed and we're waiting. Luke.